How would Jesus top himself? Was the unspoken question at the top of the minds of everyone. Just a few days ago, Jesus had miraculously healed the servant of a centurion in the lakeside town of Capernaum. Prior to this healing, Jesus had been in the physical presence of the ones needing healing. But with this servant, Jesus had spoken from a distance, never having to see the servant in order to heal him. A great crowd consisting of curious onlookers, the skeptical, and his disciples followed after Jesus to see what wonder he would do next. From Capernaum, Jesus traveled south, past Nazareth, and toward the town of Nain, crowd in tow. As the group led by Jesus approached the gate of the town, he looked up and saw a commotion. He saw a large crowd coming out of the town, led by a woman in mourning, followed by a bier, holding a body, carried by several bearers. Around and behind were many men and women of the town, wailing and crying loudly. This was obviously a funeral procession, carrying a dead person outside the town to be buried. Two large crowds, one heading toward the town, led by Jesus, the source of healing and life. The other coming out of the town, led by death and despair. Luke, in writing down this story, seems to set the scene so that we can see the imagery of two armies coming forward to do battle. A battle between life and death. The crowd that is following Jesus behind him only sees a funeral procession. As Jesus moves forward, so does the crowd. They expect him to join the funeral procession, as tradition dictates, and follow the townsfolk coming out of the town to the burial site. But Jesus sees beyond what others see on the surface. Jesus sees beyond the mourning, beyond the funeral. Jesus sees a widow whose only son's lifeless body is now being carried out. If the widow had no other family to return to, or if the family wouldn't take her back, she would have no means to support herself aside from begging or prostitution, likely. Underneath the obvious sorrow in her face, Jesus sees the fear and the anxiety that this woman has. So Jesus walks up to the widow and he stops. He looks at her. She looks back. She sees kindness. She sees compassion. She is grateful that this stranger would stop to take notice, but she doesn't expect any more than that. Why should she? She is alone in this world now, just a nameless woman left to fend for herself. The crowd behind her continues to wail and weep. And then Jesus does the first unexpected thing. He says to the woman, but also loud enough for those behind her to hear, "Do not weep." Those immediately behind the woman abruptly stop their noises, and the silence quickly ripples back. The widow looks at Jesus, startled and confused. Do not weep? Why shouldn't they weep? This man is dead. Jesus' disciples and all that are following him are also silent as they puzzle over Jesus' words. But before they have time to really process what Jesus has just said, Jesus moves again toward the bier. And then he stops right next to it. He begins to reach for it. Those who can see Jesus watch the next moment unfold in slow motion. This rabbi, a holy person, slowly reaches out and touches this object, this bier, that is carrying this dead person, which is unclean and defiled with death. A look of horror and shock crosses the faces of all who see. Gasps echo through the crowd. Life touches death. The clean touches the unclean. The holy touches the defiled. The laws of Moses clearly state that when something or someone comes into contact with the unclean, the defiled and the dead, that too, the thing touching it, becomes unclean and begins the journey towards death unless it undergoes the rituals of purification to return it to cleanliness and holiness. Surely this rabbi, this teacher, surely Jesus knows this, doesn't he? But again, before the people have time to truly think through the implications, Jesus speaks now to the dead man. Young man, I say to you, arise. The people's thought processes are abruptly interrupted with this third unexpected action. This man is dead. No one has returned from the dead since the times of Elijah and Elisha. Who does Jesus think he is? Who is he? The widow, the mother, looks with shock upon Jesus. Her eyes move to the bier, then to the body. Her expression desperately trying to conceal any signs of hope, lest they be dashed. Then the body begins to stir, begins to move. Joy creeps into her face. The man sits up. Joy and relief just rush over the mother's face. The man, who is now alive, sitting up, sees his mother. He sees Jesus. He sees the crowd immediately in front of him. He notices that he is sitting on a bier. A look of utter confusion comes into his face. What am I doing here? He asks in puzzlement. The bearers lower the bier. Jesus reaches out to take the man's hand and helps him up. He hands the man to his mother, just like in the story of Elijah, the widow and her son of Zarephath. Awe and amazement descend upon the entire crowd. For a moment, they are speechless as they look at Jesus, the man and his mother, and then back to Jesus. They think back to Elijah and to the prophecy of Moses that a great prophet will arise once again. They begin to understand and exclaim, "A great prophet has arisen among us." They think back to their stories where divine agents came to visit people in their afflictions. They think about Hagar, the one who was sent away into the wilderness alone, and where she encountered a divine being who saved her life. She called God El Roy, meaning God who sees, because God saw her affliction and came to save her. They recall Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Samson's parents, Samuel, all who encounter divine agents. They think about the promises that God will remember his people once more. And then it dawns on them what has just happened. Together they exclaim, God has visited his people. God has seen their sorrows and their afflictions, and God has shown compassion to them through Jesus. The funeral is abandoned. Wailing turns into laughter. Tears of sorrow are transformed into tears of joy. Death cannot harm life. The unclean cannot contaminate the clean. The defiled cannot defile the holy. Instead, life transforms death. The clean cleanses the unclean. The holy sanctifies the defiled. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Luke concludes this story by writing, "And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country." So I was thinking about this passage and what I was going to speak on today. A song from my past came to mind. I don't know if you've heard it. It's not in too many hymnals that I searched. The song is titled, "Does Jesus Care?" And I guess I can try to sing a few verses here. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart wakes till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Elroy, the God who sees. He continues to see the afflictions and sorrows of his people. Jesus is not literally and physically present with us now, but we together are his body. We are the spiritual embodiment of Jesus in the world today. In our daily walks and journeys of life, what do we see around us? When we look into the faces of people around us, what do we see? We look at people around us, and I think for the vast majority of the time, from what we see, we assume things are going well for them. There's a post that I saw on the internet a few days ago, and I'd like to, read from this. It was written by a person named Kathy Escobar. She writes, "But the truth is, every human being is fighting some kind of battle. Addictions to drugs, alcohol, porn, work, food, unhealthy relationships, gambling, spending, mental illnesses, chronic pain, the fallout of painful divorces, cutting and self-harm, struggling children, caring for ailing parents, past abortions, cancer, legal troubles, longing for a child, a spouse, shame, shame, and more shame, eating disorders, the trauma of sexual abuse, the deep wounding of physical and emotional abuse, confusing sexuality, hurting marriages, shattered dreams, broken relationships, death of a spouse, of a kid, of a friend, of a family member, loss of jobs, debilitating fear, homelessness, near homelessness, being bullied, insecurity and unworthiness, church woundedness, financial distress, pressure to succeed, you name it. Someone's struggling with it. It's probably the guy at the grocery store, or your neighbor, or the woman you're standing next to at a soccer game, or your mom, or your dad, or your kid, or the person on the pew next to you, or the one with the microphone, or the one opening the Bible, or the one with big letters behind their name on their business card, or the one holding a sign on the street corner, or the one writing you a ticket, or the one annoying the hell out of you for some weird reason, or the one teaching your kids, or the one fixing your car, the one you're sitting next to on the bus, or the one standing in line in front of you at social services, or the one who just came out as gay, or the blogger who just wrote something that pissed you off, or the one who signs your paychecks, or the one who leads your small group, or the one who stumbles out of the bar drunk, or the one who keeps posting irritating things on Facebook, or the one picking up the bag at the food bank, or the one paying for their groceries, or the one smiling as they walk across the basketball court in a gold dress and waves to the crowd. Everyone's fighting some kind of battle. God, give us eyes to see beyond what's on the surface. Give us ears to listen to what's beyond, listen beyond what we hear. Help us learn to live without assuming, without judging. Give us hearts filled with compassion because of our shared humanity, our shared experience, our shared trying to make it through the day as best as we can despite the obstacles. Our shared desire to be known and loved and accepted, not for what's on the outside, but what's on the inside too. No less than, no better than. Let's be kinder than necessary. Everyone's fighting some kind of battle. Jesus sees, Jesus cares, and Jesus sends us out to continue his work of compassion.